Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Friday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Radio. We are here this morning with HTP, our new show that we just changed the name, and it's Healing Through Prayer. And as you all know, thank you, our archive listeners. You are humbling us with the numbers that continue to go up. You know the numbers last week, Corrine, they've gone up quite a bit more. So I'll share that information with you later. But I just want to say thank you so much to our archive listeners, because this show is personally for me. So I'm going to introduce to you the amazing host of the show, and that is Miss Corrine Walson. Corrine, take it away with Healing Through Prayer.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. It's a beautiful rainy morning here, and I'm so excited about today's topic. It is on forgiveness, and this topic is just so near and dear to my heart and so crucial and necessary. And I just want to dive in because we've just got so much to cover. The issue of forgiveness is central to healing ourselves and others because, as many of you probably already know, harboring unforgiveness is toxic. It's toxic to yourself, to your human experience, and to those that are around you. It kind of festers inside, and it eats away on the inside, and it can cause, humanly speaking, all sorts of dis-ease, disease, and emotional issues. It could also stunt our growth, our spiritual growth. And I mentioned how our relationship with God is kind of like that truth and love that shines through a window. Well, unforgiveness can act just like a shade that we pull or blinds that we close against that window, and it just blocks out where truth and love would shine through. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy talks about self-love and self-justification are more dense than a solid brick wall to that truth and love that God is constantly imparting to us. And so, I mean, that's a real wake-up call there. You know, tragically, we probably all know somebody, but there are people in the world that go an entire lifetime with this burden and weight of unforgiveness that just, you know, hangs on them, hangs around their neck, and it just settles into their bodies and their feelings, and it affects everything negatively. So, I mean, there's a real, real need for forgiveness. When we turn to look at the Bible, there's countless lessons on the importance of forgiveness. And Jesus, in his short 3-year career, you know, went over this countless times. And you may recall he commanded that, you know, we should love our enemies and bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That seems like a tall order, you know, and it's funny because you know even Peter wrestled with that because he says, really, Lord, you know, how many times do I got to do this? 7 times 7? And Jesus' response is 70 times 7. So in other words, you continue to forgive. But this is a tall order when you think about all the wrongs in today's society. You know, how are we to forgive somebody who wrongs us or, you know, wrongs a loved one of ours or a child? You know, at times it seems impossible to do this. I have found myself, you know, standing in front of the mirror in the morning getting ready for work, and I'm mulling over something that's happened to me. I'm grinding my teeth about it at night, or I'm just playing it over my head. And I'm wishing, oh, I wish I'd said this, or man, it would have been cool if I'd said that, you know, and having a different outcome. And another side to this is that oftentimes we'll think of something and we savor it. We kind of relish in our self-justification when we feel that somebody else has wronged us, and so therefore, you know, we're superior to that person. They're bad and we're good, you know, and it's this exact line of thought that is a serpent in your thinking, or it's that mortal mind that comes to you, and it would deprive you, you know, the very life and love that your Savior died to give you. This I'm right, they're wrong is central, it's key. So it seems to bolster you as a person, and it gives you righteous indignation. It's like it's the serpent's most favorite tool. It kind of wraps it all up in a beautiful package, and you get to feel smug, and you get to tell people about it, and I'm superior to this person. Look what he did. You're slinging mental mud at their behavior, you know, and sometimes that feels kind of good to sit in that place. But do you recall the woman in the Bible? She was caught in the very act of adultery. Okay, can you imagine how embarrassing that would be? But, you know, the accusers haul her out and bring her before Jesus, and they're feeling so self-righteous. I mean, here's the law, you know, black and white, or stone, excuse me. It says she's committing adultery. We get to stone her, you know. Can you see them smacking their lips and picking their favorite stone already to get this woman? You know, and you know in the story, what is Jesus' response? He could have gone along with it, but he called on those without sin to throw the first stone. And you know the end of the story. All the accusers were convicted by their own conscience and ended up walking away. She says, woman, you know, where are thine accusers? Doesn't anybody accuse you? And she, no one, Lord. And that's a beautiful story. And it tells us a great deal about that self-righteousness and a different way to think about it. You know, Jesus held all the answers that we need on this topic of forgiveness. He is our way shower. And the most profound lesson, in my humble opinion, in the Bible on forgiveness is when Jesus, you know, who had done nothing wrong but to bless and heal every person who asked for it. You know, he'd raised the dead, healed every manner of disease. He's hanging there, bleeding on the cross. You know, and I try to imagine him there, 33 years old, up on this cross, you know, helpless, excruciating pain, you know, suffering that I can't even imagine. You know, I have no doubt he's looking down on the faces of those people that he had healed. Can you imagine that? You know, oh, there's that woman whose daughter I healed. And here she is at the bottom of the cross and hurling slurs and perhaps spitting or throwing and wanting him dead. You know, they're killing him. And here's a man who deserves to be truly self-righteous. He would have been justified in condemning the false accusers, being angry and incensed at the injustice he was suffering from. But, you know, he didn't. And he uttered the most incredible petition, I think, in the entire Bible for me. I mean, it was just awe-inspiring. But, you know, he looked up, said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And that phrase, my friends, lies our answer and the freedom from the way that unforgiveness binds us. Have you wondered about that phrase? Have you thought about it, that they know not what they do? I'm going to share something with you that God revealed to me not that long ago. I was separated from my husband, and just things are just not working out, and I had moved out. And I was listening to a TV show, and the topic was on forgiveness. And during the show, they mentioned Matthew 7:3. It states, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Okay, translation. Why are you worried about the speck in your friend's eye when you've got a log in your own? And I thought about that. And so after the show, I just sat back in my room, and I was thinking about, you know, okay, what am I contributing to the downfall of my marriage? And so I said a prayer, you know, said, God, you know, reveal to me what I could change about myself and what needs to be corrected. Because, you know, at that time, I just wasn't seeing it. I mean, obviously, it was my husband. And so it was the next morning that I woke up really early. And oftentimes, you know, in that early morning hour, that's when I get the most inspiration, or I can hear God or angel messages most clearly, because I'm not up and about thinking about everything yet. And I was laying there on my side, and I kind of watched this mental video play out in front of me. And I saw myself first as this little girl trying in vain to get my dad's undivided attention. He would play with everybody in the neighborhood, but for some reason, I would have to wait in line behind others to get that one-on-one time with my dad. I remember trying to get the grades and perform in athletics to get him to come to my events, and he rarely did. And I could feel in my body the disappointment and sadness that I felt. And then I skipped forward to when I had been married to my daughter's dad, and he would go out at night in the car and leave me alone with the baby, and I would just basically literally wrap myself around him, begging him not to go out and party. And I could feel again the anxiety and fear, you know, being left alone at 19 with a newborn. And then again, it's just like fast forward. I saw my boyfriend where I put in 110% to try and make it work, and I could not get him away from his job. And it was just, there was nothing that could convince me that I'd be good enough for any man. So I flash forward now to my current marriage, and I saw how my husband, when he said, you know, I love you, sometimes, you know, I wouldn't say it back. And I didn't know why, and I didn't really think about it. Or I recall times he would want to talk to me about something important, and I'd walk out of the room, and he would be in mid-sentence. Or I'd act cold or indifferently, and I wasn't even conscious that I was doing it. And it's like in a flash, in a moment of time, I just saw this really bad, unloving behavior on my part. And I just gasped. I was like, what? You know, my eyes were open. All of a sudden, I just saw it so clearly, and I couldn't believe it, but it made perfect sense, you know. I was angry at men. I'd been angry at being let down at the men in my life. And here was a man who was loving me, and I was taking it out on him. It's like each time I snubbed him or walked away, it was like I was kind of taking a piece back that was owed to me as a small girl. It was like a revenge thing. I understand it now, but I was appalled, you know. Folks, I don't have a mean bone in my body. I have a tremendous capacity to love. I think of myself as a kind and generous person, and I'm ethical and honest. I wouldn't ever hurt knowingly anybody. So when I saw this, it was like a major wake-up call. And that's when I heard Jesus say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And in that moment, I got it. And I just cried. I cried. I understood for the first time clearly what he meant by that. Here I was, you know, in a good person, in my opinion, incapable of inflicting hurt on anybody. And in the dark recesses of my thoughts, you know, I'm unconsciously inflicting pain on my husband and relishing in this pretend payback that I'm giving, you know, to vindicate for something that my husband had nothing to do with. And I was not awake or aware of what I was doing. And I could see clearly how someone believes that believes like I do, that they would never hurt anybody, could go around doing just that. And I saw how those who are acting badly are walking around in the dark. They're either completely unaware of their wrongdoing, or they're feeling completely justified about it, like the men who wanted to throw the stones. So either way of this forgiveness equation, can you see the serpent at work? I mean, you can be asleep at the wheel and oblivious to your actions, you know, or just feel justified and self-righteous about your behavior on the one hand. And on the other side of it, you know, you feel you can become a victim and play martyr and live in that role your whole life and not stepping into your potential and staying there. Or you take the high road. I'm obviously better, and I'm standing in judgment over that, quote, you know, bad person. It's sick. I mean, any way you look at it, there's evidence of a, quote, condemned person. There has to be a victim. There has to be a bad person. Then there obviously would have to be a better person or a worse person, a sinner and a sufferer. Whew. So in order to free us from this bondage, because that's what it is, it's mental bondage that we're inflicting upon ourselves, you know, we have to go back and start thinking from the absolute truth of being. And we've talked about that. Every time we want to heal or clear up a situation, you go straight to the top and you take a look and you stand where Jesus stood or where God knows his creation to be, and that's where you start your mental argument. And, you know, I know that Jesus saw each person that he saw that day standing beneath him as God created them. He knew that in reality, each one is blameless and pure and innocent. You know, these are the children of God, created beautifully, and they're holy. And he could see that, and he could, and because he's able to see that in God's creation, this mask that we wear when we're walking around in the darkness, it's so obvious that it's just a lie. I mean, it's so dark. It's like the dark against the light, and he could see that. And so he says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And knowing this, he saw how this life has, you know, us mesmerized into believing we're just merely mortals. You know, we sin and grow old and decay and die. And it was his great compassion for us that is the reason why he taught and healed the way that he did. He showed us the way out of this darkened sense of being. He taught love and compassion for our fellow man. You know, he gave us the Beatitudes, and he urged us to replace love for hate and good for evil. And he overcame this world because he was in it, but he wasn't of it. And that was the key. And then he taught us to follow that example. I'm going to take a quick station identification break, and we'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, okay, we're back and we're talking about forgiveness and the importance of that forgiveness and how Jesus was the way shower, and he taught us all these really fabulous, important lessons and gave us all of these Bible stories that point to seeing the truth over the error and to realizing who we truly are and the importance of not believing the lie either about ourselves or even in our, you know, whoever our sight rests upon. And I wanted to talk a little bit about how this mortal mind and the serpent, you know, works and why it's so important to understand how it applies to this forgiveness issue. I have been yes.
I'm going to actually stop you right there because
sure.
I think what you're going to be sharing is going to be vital to our we have a guest with us. And
okay.
He's somebody that I connected you to. You actually met him, and he actually made you upset one day. But I love
him. I forgive you.
This is Jimmy James, and you met Jimmy James a while ago, and he is the one that God brought to me in Labor Day of 2004 and on a 7-Eleven in Lake Forest. And when I looked at Jimmy, I thought, wow, okay, Lord, what are you doing? And he is the one who introduced me to Denise Brown and the Nicole Brown family. And Jimmy was at in Newport Beach, and he is our music director. He's also the voice of Soul Sister Radio. And he is having some issues. And like a lot of us, this information that you're about to share, I want him to really listen to what it is that you're going to share, because he is right in the middle of something that's going on. And like a lot of us, we don't have the money to go see quote unquote medical attention. And I think as our government continues to move forward with what they're doing, I think there's going to be a lot more Christians that don't follow that path and are definitely going to need to hear what it is that you are speaking. So right now, Jimmy has an issue with his arm, his elbow. It is probably the size of a softball at times. Jimmy, I don't know if you're on, if you want to speak. I know that you are, he's typing right now because he's in our chat room listening. But he did go to the doctor, and he said today is about the size of a golf ball. And he says, the doctor said, because he did go to the clinic today, the doctor said that it was common, not a threat, but they weren't going to drain it because, of course, it was going to cost a lot of money. And as you and I both know, because I've been walking this path with you now for 12 years, Corrine, and I know what you're going to, what you're about to share is truth. And I know, Jimmy, if you get this and you really understand it, that an instantaneous healing is there. And with you, most of all, because of the how spiritual you are, and you know that what Corrine is going to say is truth. And I know you know that it's truth. So, Corrine, you have a client on with us. He has a real issue, and so you are speaking truth into somebody who is ready to accept it. I know that he is. So please, go ahead and share what you want to share.
Wow. Okay. Well, we can spin and change our focus, and I think it was last week's topic where we talked about physical healing. And, you know, you can, if you want to walk around in the human picture of things and what I like to call the dream state, which majority of people are, that would seem to say, I am this physical mortal body. This is me. I seem to have something wrong with my elbow. And because it's a physical problem, I'm going to go seek an expert who's going to use wonderful technology and their highest sense of right and compassion, and they will work on your elbow to fix it. What Christian Science does, and what I'm here to try to offer as an alternative, requires a completely different shift. I mean, you've got to come at it from a totally different, opposite approach. Jimmy, you are not the mortal man. You are not blood and bones and skin. You are the spiritual child of God. What is true about you is only what God knows about you. And if God is spirit, then you, my friend, you are spiritual, not material. You possess the qualities that God imparts when he created you. He didn't create imperfection. God didn't screw up when he made Jimmy. You are his love. He loves you. He delights in you. He knows what he made when he created you. There was no screw up. There is no deformity. There is no pain. There is no inflammation. There is no fear in love. And when you hold to that truth and you throw in a good heaping case of gratitude, you just know that he's given you life eternal and joy and good and prosperity and peace and purity and knowledge and life and energy and success and everything that sums up good is yours. It's your inheritance, and that's where you stand, and that's your starting point. And when you realize that and you focus on that and you accept that about yourself, whatever seems discordant, and believe me, it's just seeming, Jesus could not have instantaneously healed a withered hand if a withered hand was an actuality. God never created a withered hand, and God did not create a inflamed elbow. And because Jesus was able to heal that instantaneously, we know that the only place inflammation would seem to exist is in your thought. Mrs. Eddy describes that inflammation and swelling is basically fear manifesting itself. Jimmy, your answer lies in simply loving. Love where there seems to be darkness. And stand on the side of truth. Don't go into that dream state of fear and staring at something that seems to be. It has no power. There is no power opposed to God. God is all power. He is all present and all knowing, and that is all you need to know. You stand with that truth, and I will be working for you and with you. I would like to conclude today with just kind of wrapping up on this topic of forgiveness, because again, it is just so important, and I think that it has spread itself. It just touches each of our lives in a different way, and I have great compassion for any of you that just have hurt, and you feel like you're nursing that hurt, and it stays close to you, and it hurts you, and that's baggage that you can now offload, and you can have compassion for yourself and for others that would seem to cause harm to one another. You know, we are blameless, and love itself is our maker. You and I seem to be in this world, but we're not, in fact, of it. And God didn't create a hateful person or a criminal, and he never created a victim or suffering. And the fact is that the negative self-images and labels that we put on ourselves and others, they never touched who we truly are. You know, that's true forgiveness, recognizing that a bad act never touched who we are in reality. You are as God created you to be, and that's it, period. The guilt and reruns you play in your mind never touched you. And as you understand the truth about yourself and others, you know, you gain, they describe that peace that passes all understanding. You can stand in the midst of a storm and not be swept up in it. You've got compassion for those who are still stumbling around in the mental darkness instead of judging them. Think of the freedom. You just see, like Jesus saw, the dark and the light, and you know the truth and what's not. And you can have compassion and loose them of their labels. You know, love them because they need it so badly. They need to be brought from the darkness to the light. Don't stand in judgment. And please don't stand in judgment of yourself. It's wasted energy. It's like a scarlet letter hanging around you. Just throw it off because it's not you. You are free to love. And even when it's not returned to you, you're free to just keep giving the love and seeing others as they are. You are the beloved child of God, and therein lies your freedom. God bless all of you. I am so looking forward to next week, and whatever God has to say, I'm just super, super thrilled to be here and part of this, and thank you for those who are tuning in and listening, and I truly hope that it helps, and it is from the heart. So take care, everybody, and I will see you next week. Bye now.
Actually, Kareen, you still there? Kareen, are you still there? We may have already lost her. Okay, we had two more minutes left. I want to thank everybody who is in our chat room. Thank you so much for joining us today on Soul Sister Radio. Jimmy James, without you, this show couldn't go on. So I want to thank all of our archive listeners and all of the hosts that come and join me on Soul Sister Radio. Thank you so much, and we will see you on Sunday when we have Reboot with Maria Magdalena Ministries. Talk to you soon on Soul Sister Radio.
Soul Sister Radio.
Show is hot out here. No, I don't mind though. I'm just glad to be free.
Break free, 'cause you see I have been
Soul Sister Radio.